When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Citizens of the Reject Nation, I am Greg Alba, joined by Sir Coy Jandro, who will be in studio with us soon enough. Coy, how are you doing, buddy?
So excited to be back in studio, so excited to be on the mend, and so excited you guys wanted Coy's Comic Corner back, and for Kung Fu.
Kung Fu Panda 4, we are doing it today, people. It couldn't wait any longer. We did Kung Fu Panda 1, 2, and 3 together, and I said, nay, Coy, we're going to zoom this in. I'm not going to wait for you to be at full 100% capacity to come back in the office. We're going to do this when you're at home. Stream you in. So ladies and gentlemen, you be sure to leave a like on this video. Leave down below in your thoughts what you thought about Kung Fu Panda 4. Also, thank you to all who have joined us on our Patreon page. Full length reaction watch along where you sync up with your own copy, chums. Available for our super sexy rejects over on our Patreon page. Over there you get the full length reaction watch along where you sync up with your own copy. And we cover some of the exclusive with highlights and watch alongs included. Oh, and yes, we got today's video sponsor, Opera. Run that ad.
Ever felt bogged down by a slow, cluttered browsing experience? Well, it's time for a change. Meet Opera Browser. Opera is a fast and feature-rich web browser that enhances your online experience by integrating features like a free VPN, ad blocker, and built-in messengers right into the browser, making it easier and more secure to surf the web, chat, and enjoy media without switching apps. Privacy first, right? Opera's VPN keeps your browsing secure and your location private, all at blazing speeds. Say goodbye to regional blocks and those pesky ads. Opera zaps them away with its built-in ad blocker, speeding up your browsing and keeping your screens clean. And need to stay connected? The sidebar integrates Facebook, Messenger, and WhatsApp. Chat, share, and jam without missing a beat. Drowning in tabs? Opera's Tab Islands feature helps you organize them by topic or task so you can keep your digital life sorted effortlessly. Opera also tunes into your needs with a sidebar player, such as Spotify, controlling your music and videos directly in the browser. It's entertainment without the hassle. And when you're low on power, Opera's battery saver prolongs your laptop's life, letting you browse longer without reaching for that charger. Opera Desktop isn't just a browser. It's a powerhouse tool designed for today's internet. You can do exactly what I did by downloading it from the link below and elevate your browsing game. I really did download it. It's freaking awesome. Seriously, it is. So keep rejecting the boring and continue to embrace the exceptional with Opera. Thanks for sponsoring us.
Well, Coy, what did you think?
Okay, so it definitely wasn't the first two, but it wasn't... I think I might have liked this one a little bit more than the third one by the end. It took a little bit to get going for me. It definitely, it felt like it pointed out some of its flaws too much. Like, some movies point out the things and go like, but we're being cheeky. This one kind of was like, we know we messed up.
Yeah.
And those things I got over with time, and I think that allowed me to, like, embrace the movie as its own thing at a point. But it definitely had that issue where... I think a lot of fourth movies nowadays are legacy sequels to themselves. And I think that this one kind of like had the weight of that on it. If you look at like Scream 4, if you look at Thor 4, there's a lot of that passing the torch, and there's that level of like someone has to level up, and there's that parent lineage thing that they're doing here. And that worked for me more than sometimes a fourth movie does. But I wish it didn't have to be at the cost of them being like, we know we're leaving behind everything you already love.
Yeah, that's fair. The thing is, before watching this, we were told, obviously, by Rotten Tomatoes that this...
Which is our only source of data.
Only source of data here. And just hearing the general opinion that this is the weakest one of them all. And, okay, so Seth Rogen did come back for the voice. It says it in the credits. Because I was like, sounds like...
When did he speak?
He yelled, and I guess he recorded a yell. Yeah, because... So...
I love the idea that Seth Rogen's at his house and an iPhone just going, yeah. And they're like, "Match at the credits."
I don't let that kind of, if anything, that kind of like sets an expectation bar for me that often helps me out, and I end up liking something more. So I actually like this more than I expected to. That being said, I can totally concede with the fact of like, yeah, I can see why this would be considered. I would consider this the least strong of them all. But I'll start with like what I really liked about it. I really liked Jack Black again, of course, returning as Poe. Always
strong, solid. It's like he never left, Coy. So strong.
Skadoosh.
Skadoosh. So strong. And I enjoyed Awkwafina's presence overall. I like the Fox character. Predictable twist that we did not predict. And
I'm so embarrassed of us with these genre movies more than most. Because if I don't get a twist in a Fincher film, I don't feel so humiliated. Sure. But I know on camera that there have been like three or four young movies that are made to make the twist for kids go like, I get it. And we grown ass men are just like, shocked.
Yeah. Holy crap. Didn't see that coming.
They did that thing that is so clearly obvious.
Yeah, yeah. And I liked Viola Davis, the chameleon, the way she's, you know, no pun intended, illustrated the amalgamation of powers, the changing in and out, the horror that the character brought. Overall, you know, it's still like it's a kid's movie, and it's a fun kid's movie. And I think the thing, though, with this franchise that you have to factor in is that the first two just set like a really high bar. And the way how to Train Your Dragon constantly just evolved in emotionality and maturity. Like the second one's my favorite of the three of How to Train Your Dragons, mm-hmm. but the third one still like really hits those freaking beats in the last half, you know? And this franchise never quite does that. Like the one is great, two I think is stronger, and then you know, they always keep the
these
comedy.
Are fun.
And yeah, then three and four are like fun. You know, they're fun. And this, I think they managed to find a way to justify its existence with, yeah, eventually you would have to pass the torch. It makes sense. It's the ritual. It's a tradition. You know, like Poe's not going to live forever, so you would have to pass this mantle down and going from student to teacher. Some reason, though, this film still left me feeling like it was a little incomplete, or that it was still like a bit of an earlier draft. You know, like I liked the first act, and the first act I found myself going, you know what? I don't really see what the complaints are with this. This is perfectly suitable, and I like the justification of its plot and the great setup and the villain. And then in the second act of the movie, which is most of this film, I did start going like, okay, I'm starting to see a little bit of his shortcomings, I would say, of shortcomings comparatively to the previous films. And then the finale, after the staff was lost, and then the other characters started coming in, a little bit more of its strength started shining through, I thought, with a lot of its humor. And the action scenes throughout were consistently great. But yeah, I mean, in some ways, it does feel like, you know, the Pirates 4 to the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is partly because of word of mouth that I didn't mind that as much, but I definitely wonder. I think I put this just above 3, not by a lot. Like, it's like a 3.5 star. Like, both of them are right there at 3.5. I just slightly edge out on this one.
Out of four stars?
Out of 5.
Out of 5, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, a B. Like, a solid, you know, B grade. But I think that the word of mouth helped this, because I was on the momentum of you and I having just watched 1 and 2, so then 3 was more like, oh. Whereas 4, I'd heard just not great. And so when I watched it, I think I was coming off of the disappointment of 3, and this was actually better than I expected enough that they kind of, this one's a little bit over, because I really love the proverbs. I really love the messaging and the use of the chameleon. I think this franchise does a really good job of making the villain a great metaphor. And a lot of franchises use the villain as the look inward, and there's the evil of yourself. Like, your shadow self is the villain a lot of times, like Ironmonger, Iron Man, like especially Marvel. But this does a really cool thing where the villain is the darkness of the metaphor. And all four do that really well, but I really like that this one was about he needed to change, and I didn't put together that the chameleon represented that. Like, I really like that it was such an obvious metaphor that landed later. And so I think that worked for me a little better. I didn't love that the mask doesn't make any sense. I didn't love the sorceressness. I guess if you're a sorcerer already, if you're a chameleon, maybe you're more adept at that. But there were some flaws of just even cartoon logic. That said, I was okay enough that I got more out of the emotional weight of the dads and his metaphor that I think it worked for me a
bit.
Well,
you see, like, there was a time when animation sequels were always straight to DVD. There was a big time where that was sort of the case. And outside of see if there's a post-credit scene? There's not. Outside of animation quality, storytelling-wise, this reminds me of that. This feels a little bit more of when
I could see that.
Of when the sequels would go straight to DVD. Like, it's serviceable. It's still a fun kids movie.
The cast came back, but they're definitely cashing a check.
Yeah, some of the cast came. That's usually what it is, too. Some of the cast came back.
The five.
Not all the cast came back.
Don't call it out five times, guys. We noticed they're gone. Don't point it.
Now you're drawing more attention. I actually think that was a weak call in the round. I'm like, okay, yeah.
I totally agree. That's what I was saying at the beginning. Like, don't keep pointing out the flaw.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe they wanted to save money on budget because it's expensive to get all of them back. Totally get that. And they're like, it's been a long – because whereas the other ones kind of came out a little bit more back-to-back. There's a big gap here from 3 to 4. So maybe we don't have as much confidence that this one will succeed as well. So let's not do it. Because I do feel like there was impact on things, emotional impact that I felt probably would have hit harder in previous installments with better fleshing out. Again, this feels a little bit like an earlier draft. Like some of the character arcs, for example, even when it comes to Poe's lesson, I'm like, it's not exact. Like it's laid out for me and it perfunctory wise hits the beat it's supposed to hit. But by the time it gets there, I'm like, did the movie really naturally transgress to that point?
Did it earn C? Because I saw A and B. Did it earn C?
Yeah. It's like we got there because we had to get there. Because
the credits are rolling.
Yeah. And it does. And I'm like, am I excited about Fox learning to become Dragon Warrior for what is inevitably going to be a Kung Fu Panda 4? Mildly enthusiastic about it. And I do think, though, that with Kung Fu Panda 3 amongst most audiences, there are people who obviously would probably prefer Kung Fu Panda 3 as their favorite, perhaps, but I think most would not consider that to be their favorite. That was the first sign of, okay, the franchise should probably end here because of quality direction, even though the last half of that movie I thought really saved a lot of it. This, to me, is the more of an alarm bell raising of like, okay, maybe this franchise really needs to not end.
Maybe it's run out of gas.
Yeah.
Or just, if you do a five, you've got to bring the Furious Five back and do a story that's going to be like kind of the Fast Five. Like, bring all the teams together. Make it big. Like, end strong is how I'd hope.
Yeah, because this was, like, pleasant. And but there were the thing about those first two Kung Fu Panda movies is that there's a weight to those films, you know?
So much weight and so much philosophy and so much, like, metaphor that I think lands more than most, not even just animated, but most films.
Yeah.
Like the genre of child movie doesn't negate like the importance of these metaphor, and the medium of animation doesn't negate these metaphor, especially in the first two. But I do feel like the second two feel a lot more like the medium of animation was like, oh, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Because animation doesn't equal kids, but these two movies kind of went, but it does here.
And I would expect, and I know there's like this whole TV show that takes place in between all these, right? So I'm of the mindset of the people who grew up on these movies have now aged, you know? So I feel like you should probably mature it up a little bit. Kind of like how the Toy Story...
Yeah, not go the other way. Like comic stuff, we always talk about.
Or like how the Toy Story movies did it, right? Where they would get more mature. Even though 4 is up for debate, but that's still a pretty great movie.
And Turtles is doing Last Ronin, an R-rated Teenage Ninja Turtles.
It should be an R-rated Kung Fu Panda movie.
I want an R-rated Furious 5 spinoff where it's just Seth Rogen as a grasshopper.
Like, this one isn't bad, but I still would be like, all right, it's definitely towards, like, the... I don't know if I like it more than 3. There were parts the last chunk of 3, I think, is much stronger than most of this movie.
I honestly think it's all expectation for me. The only reason I put it ahead is just that roller coaster I went on going, 1, 2!
Right.
3!
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Exactly. Yeah, and I think expectation actually helped. This was one of the...
100%. I'm so glad I heard that people didn't enjoy this because I enjoyed it more for it.
I feel like I would be more disappointed, but because of that, I was like, get ready to get disappointed. Okay, this is like better than I actually expected it to be because of people
said. I'm always so happy to be back with them.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, like there was a moment where we're both like, you know, Kung Fu Panda. And that might not have happened if we didn't hear like, ooh.
1,000%.
Because then we just got to be like, ah, Kung Fu Panda.
1,000%. I still enjoyed it, still had fun, still pleasant, and still at the end of the day, serviceable to the actual demographic it's aiming to please. So
two grown men complain about kids movies emotionality not landing for them. Tune in here.
But guys, what did you think about Kung Fu Panda 4? Leave your thoughts down below. Koi, thanks for streaming in with me. Glad we could cover it this week and get you some hours in on the Real Rejects. Thank you to all who joined us. Thank you to Opera. And we'll catch you all soon. Reject Nation, I probably got like seconds left of this card. See you guys. Anissa Oliva. Anissa, you know, when I think about you, Anissa, I do think about
the feeling that comes to mind is...
Oh, what is it?
Is
it a mineral?
It's angry.
No.
She makes you hungry.
No, that's not it.
Jealous.
That's not quite it.
She fills you with ennui. Just don't really care that much one way or the other.
Maybe.
Okay. We're getting closer. I got one. Joy.
Yeah.
Hey!
I was looking for joy.
We got there eventually.
It's taking me forever. It's just such an unfamiliar feeling in my life.
Yeah, I feel you.
But now that I think about it, yeah, I feel pretty good when I think about you because you've been such a sweetheart to us for so long. And I'll never forget just the amount of generosity you've shown our way. And it's a rarity, you know? It's actually not common. Or maybe it's more common than perhaps I realize it is. And... I just need to attract that more into my life. And for us to attract someone like you into our lives is a gift in and of itself.
The Moranisas. We need you to clone yourself.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Anissa, for bringing... God, what's that word?
J. Bauman. Joy. That's what it was.
Joy.
Joy.
Thank you for bringing Joyce into my life.
Joyce.